So today we're starting something I'm really excited about this year. It's 12 books in 12 months. So here at Clay Church, we're going to look at 12 books of the Bible over the next 12 sermon series this year, which means often we spend like a day or maybe a couple weeks in one book, but this month we're going to really dig into 12 books of the Bible and seek to understand them better and learn about them and grow in them as a congregation. If you pull out your life guide today, you'll notice that you'll see in there are always weekly questions and daily readings with questions. Starting this month with this 12 books in 12 months, you're going to have the opportunity to really read a whole book of the Bible. We're starting with Revelation this month, and you're going to be able to answer questions every day, and we're going to start out slow, so this week it's really just Revelation 1, but going forward, you'll have the chance to really, really read 12 books of the Bible this year. And to start with, I let me ask a question as we think about this. How many of you, when you're reading like a mystery novel or something, a suspense, you'll turn to the last chapter because you just kind of have to know how it's going to end? Anybody do that? Okay, a few honest people in here that say they'll turn to the end. For those of you with your hand up, you're really going to like this because we're just going to start at the end at Revelation. And we're going to start at the end for two reasons. One, I think it actually is not a bad thing to read other books of the Bible with the end in mind. So that's one reason. And the second is because if we can tackle Revelation in the first month, we can tackle anything the rest of the year. Don't you think? So we're going to dive in. Would you pray with me? Lord, may these words and our reflections be to your glory. God, in these moments, may our hearts be just filled to overflowing with your promise and your love. And Lord, I just pray you bring these words and reflections into our minds and then send us out to carry forth your word as a light to our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do you think of when you think of the book of Revelation? Like what image or thoughts come to mind? For a lot of people, I think one of the things that comes to mind is just this sense of the end times. You know, the people holding signs that say the world's going to end tomorrow, and the signs that are supposedly in Revelation that are going to point to the ending, and we find ourselves asking, could this be a sign? We find ourselves joking, as I did in my weekly email this week, 3 days of sunshine in January, is that a sign of the end of the world, right? We wonder, we see predictions and wonder, well, you know, lots of times we write those off, but could this be actually the person who has it right? And we'll ask the question when we do that. Doesn't that come from Revelation? The other way I think that we think about Revelation is it's just that book with all kinds of weird and scary stuff that doesn't seem to make any sense, and we maybe have read a little bit of it or maybe all of it and it didn't make sense to us, and so we just sort of leave it behind because what does it even mean? And if I don't know what it means, maybe it's best, or if it scares me, maybe it's just best not to deal with it, to avoid it. And in both of those cases, one of the things that happens is if you ask people about the book of Revelation, they'll often share things that aren't in the book of Revelation, because much of what we think we know about Revelation, it comes from Dante's Inferno and some of his interpretations. It comes from culture. It comes from pop movies. And so my proposal this month for us is let's read the book of Revelation together. As a community, as circles, it's a great time to get involved in circles. As a church, the circle guides, if you're not in a circle, are online, so you can get those. Let's read Revelation together. And yes, you won't understand all of it. We should just lay that out up front. I don't understand all of Revelation. I had a couple weeks on it in seminary, and we could not cover all there was to know. But here's something to think about as we start this month, which is the councils that put together the Bible. Right, there were councils that met in the early church, and they chose the books of the Bible that would help people understand God and the faith, and most importantly, would reveal who Jesus Christ was and is to them. They included the book of Revelation. They thought that somehow this book, even with all its strange and weird things, contained some things that followers of Jesus ought to know. So maybe we can read Revelation with that knowledge that there's something in there that other followers of Jesus have said, there are things in here that can be beneficial to your life in following Jesus. There are things in here that can help reveal who Jesus is. And I figured what better than we probably ought to just start at the beginning. In fact, we're going to start today with the first three words. If you want to open a Bible in the pews, you can open to Revelation 1. You'll see some of the words we're going to talk about on the screen. The first three words of the book of Revelation in Greek, they're Apocalypsis Jesu Christu, which if we sort of transliterate in English, Apocalypse Jesus Christ. Now, does anybody know what apocalypse means? If what you're thinking is end of the world, you're right. In our English translation, apocalypse means can often be translated as end of the world. But in the Greek, apocalypse literally means to make known or to reveal. So the first three words of this book say, Revelation, Jesus Christ, making known Jesus Christ. Yes, the book is going to go on and it's going to talk about things to come in John's vision. And it's going to talk about what the end times might look like in this vision. But at its heart, the book of Revelation is about revealing Jesus Christ, making known Jesus Christ. Everything in Revelation is shared to fulfill the goal of these first three words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to tell people who Jesus Christ is. And it does this, actually, in the form of a letter. Right? We know this because in verse 4 it then says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. It's a letter to these churches. John is the author. He's writing from the island of Patmos, not the island of Unicorn, as we had in our Mad Lib. He's writing from the island of Patmos, and he has a message, this vision that he wants to share with his contemporaries, with the church. And we believe that he's in exile and the church is being persecuted. And so he has this vision and he wants to share it with them. And I want to pause here for a moment because I think it's important to realize that John is writing a letter to his contemporaries. Now, we might think of it this way. Imagine for a moment that you're about to go into the seventh grade again, right? Or that your kids are going to go into the seventh grade and you find a letter. It's being circulated, and it supposedly has great wisdom for seventh graders, right? And so you pick up the letter, and you read it, and it says this. The Abecedarians will need your help this year. You'll be expected to sit behind them and help when asked. If they wear you out, you can get rest during nooning. And whatever you do, don't forget your slate. You may need a bigger one this year for math. Oh, and a tip, for the end-of-the-year test, you're going to need to know the elementary sounds and how they are classified. Now, you probably would read that and then look at the heading and realize, oh, this was written in the 1850s or 1840s for a student, a seventh grader in a one-room schoolhouse. And as you looked at it, right, to figure it out, it may have some wisdom for you as a seventh grader today, but to figure out any of that wisdom, you're going to need to understand more about this letter. The Abecedarians are those kids who don't yet know their ABCs, and they sit in the front of the classroom with the older students sitting behind them to help them with their ABCs. And nooning is really the recess and lunch hour, which students would use to play or have recess, or the older kids would often just hang out or rest, take a quick nap to get ready for the rest of the day. Your slate is your personal chalkboard. You didn't have a notepad and pencil, so you would literally have a slate where you did your math work on it. And to be honest, I have no idea what elementary sounds were in the 1840s or how you classified them. Right, but to understand it, you'd have to know more about the time and about the people. Let's fast forward then to this letter that John wrote to Revelation and us looking at this letter 2,000 years later. For us to fully understand Revelation, we have to realize that it was written to a particular group of people in a particular time, and we're going to have to understand a little bit more about that people in that time to really glean the wisdom that might be there in Revelation for us. So what about the people? What do we know about them? What about those symbols? Well, I hate to do this to you, but you have to come back next week and the week following, and we're going to look at those two questions. But before we finish, here's the 1850 schoolhouse. Before we finish this message today, I do want us to think about one more thing that I think will help as we dig into Revelation. And it kind of goes back to the why. Why should we read Revelation? If the signs are confusing, if the symbols are confusing to us, if it was written to an audience 2,000 years ago, why read it? And here's the answer. Here's one answer to me. It's because Revelation invites today's reader. It invites those of us who are tackling it today, as I think it has across the centuries, to enter into our imagination, something we don't do really often, right? To let imagination and wonder kind of take over how we read this letter and how we understand what it has to say, and to use that imagination and wonder to reflect and to anticipate and to focus on the promise that comes in Jesus Christ. Why read it? Not because we might be able to figure it all out, but because it'll invite us into imagining and letting ourselves go into this place of wonder where we can get that God is bigger than anything we can imagine. And we can understand that while it's written to a particular people, its message is in some ways timeless. In fact, in verse 8, if we keep reading in just chapter 1 of Revelation, we hear the Lord say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and is to come. Right? The promise of Jesus is timeless. And reading Revelation, it allows us to claim that promise and then see what John's vision stirs up in us. That's one of the things we'll do this month. I think it's important to realize, before we go on, that Revelation, it was not written to scare or create confusion, which we feel today. John didn't write Revelation to cause strife and how to interpret it. John didn't write Revelation to encourage speculation about the coming of Christ. John wrote to the church so that they would be ready in any moment and would hold on to the faith in the most difficult moments. Right? Revelation was written to reveal the good news of the ultimate victory of Jesus and to invite people to hang on to that promise no matter how hard life would get. Revelation, simply put, is the promise of God's victory in Jesus Christ revealed. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't read on, but we should read with this promise in front of us and to engage this book, recognizing that it'll open up a vision that whatever challenges the immediate future holds, they don't compare to the glory that Christ has offered to each one of us. Let me say that again. At its core, the message of Revelation is the promise of God's victory. And its purpose is to allow us to hold on to our faith. To hold on to our faith with imagination and vision that assures us that nothing that we face today can compare with the future glory that Christ offers. And with Jesus Christ revealed to us, that hope, that vision becomes ours to share, to reveal Christ to the world. So this is my prayer for us. I hope you will all take up some part of this challenge to read the book of Revelation this month together with Clay Church. And this is my prayer for us. May these promises of Revelation become ever more in focus as you read Revelation this month. May this book challenge and move you into a deeper faith in Jesus Christ and relationship with Him. And may you grow in hope and trust in God's victory and find Jesus Christ revealed again for you and for your life and through you and your life to those around you.